Good morning. My name is Mike, if you don't know me, and I'm one of the guys up here. I want to welcome you all to Greater Alton Church this morning. If you're a guest, sit back, relax. Hopefully God has something to give you. Before we jump into today's lesson, there's a few things I want to point out to you. I don't know if you've noticed, but the church building looks fantastic outside. There was a handful of people that came up here yesterday and painted it, and I want to give you guys a round of applause. Looks fantastic. I know we're not done with everything yet, but it looks great. Thank you so much for that. There's bulletins if you haven't gotten one in the back. And on the back, I just want to point out our annual marriage retreat is coming up soon. I'm excited. We're going back to New Harmony, Indiana. We went there last year. It was a little different in a good way. I didn't know what to expect when we got there, and there's white picket fences, and everything looks like too perfect. It was like, this is weird. But I really enjoyed it. We walked everywhere. We had a great time. We're going back out there September 20th through the 22nd. So you can get signed up for that. You can get your hotel rooms booked if you're married or getting married, and you want to learn how to have a better marriage. This week, I spent the week recovering from primary week. The week before, we were at primary week, a bunch of us. And I just want to thank our church. A lot of you have had your hands in camp, like behind the scenes, in the scenes. Maybe you've donated money. Maybe you've donated time. Maybe you donated a sleeping bag. Maybe you were there all week. But I just really appreciate you guys as a family. It was a great week of church, or church camp. It was a great week. I slept a lot when I got home. We had 70 campers between third and fifth grade. It was a lot. And this past week, this combined week just ended, they had 71 campers. So that's crazy. And junior high week starts today. We are sending our kids off. It's exciting. Sydney and TK and our intern are already down there. That's why the front row looks slightly empty. You guys are there, but Sydney and TK aren't. So we're really excited for junior high week to kick off today. Church camp is always a great time. Even as an adult, I look forward to church camp. I also now get to look forward to sending my kids and having a quiet house. So that is also good. We're in the middle of a sermon series called Making Peace. Alan has kicked us off talking about what it means to be peacemakers. He's been looking at a book that is designed for teenagers, and I find that easy to read and a lot easier to implement because sometimes I'm dumb and I need simple, right? And I've really enjoyed reading this book. And I've really enjoyed the sermon series. I wasn't here the first Sunday when Alan kicked it off because I was already down at camp walking through a deep puddle to make pizza, and ruining my shoes. That's a whole nother story. But last week was great, talking about our heart. Today, Alan has blessed me with the topic of the hard talk. And that's kind of funny because generally when we're giving out sermon series stuff, Alan gets the hard lesson. And so, not this time. Today is the hard talk. And this is going to be a hard lesson and I'm hopefully going to be quick about it. In your notes, if you look there, there's notes you can fill out if you haven't gotten there already. Our first passage is Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. And it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. There's a phrase in there that stands out to me. It says, restore that person gently. A lot of the times with the passage we're about to read, I don't think gentle as I'm reading it. And this has been a really big mind change for me. In Matthew 18, 15 through 17, it says this. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. When I combine Galatians chapter 6 with Matthew 18, 15 through 17, it stands out a little bit different to me. Because when I read 15 and it says, go and point out their fault, I don't always think gentle when it says, go and point out their fault. How often, I'm going to use my puppy, because, that, you know, that's safe. How often when my dog makes a mess in the house, what do I do? What do? I take her head and I rub her nose in it, right? That's not what this is telling us to do with people. And too often I have read it that way. I have read, go and point out, rub their nose in it. Rub their nose in it, what they did wrong. Rub their nose in it. And that's not what Jesus is telling us to do. Galatians 6 says, go and restore them gently. It's not this harsh thing. We're supposed to be servants. We're supposed to be peacemakers in this. And this, as I've been studying for this sermon, as I've been studying for this lesson, has been really challenging to me, because too often I want to go rub their nose in it. Look what you're doing. But I'm called to be gentle and restorative. And if I'm going to rub somebody's nose in it, it's going to be really hard to be gentle and restorative in that situation. This passage is really interesting, to say the least. And how many times in my life did I avoid a hard talk because it made me uncomfortable, only to have the conflict escalate? Because I wouldn't take the steps at the beginning, the problem got worse. The point of this passage is not to put the other person in their place. The point of this passage is restoration. If we read before in chapter 18, we will see a common theme. The parable of the lost sheep shows the shepherd restoring the sheep to the flock, not chastising it or whipping it or beating it up because it's a dumb sheep that walked away. The shepherd went and restored the sheep to the flock. If we're going to be peacemakers, like we've been talking about in the sermon series, we must have courage and humility to talk with people with whom we have conflict and with whom we see caught in sin. So this morning, we're going to talk about how do we gently restore someone. Emphasis on the gently. How do we gently restore someone? Well, in your notes, there's some blanks to fill in. The first step is just between us. How do we gently restore someone? Just between us. You keep it just between you as long as possible. As long as possible. In Matthew 18:15, it said, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. When someone close to you is caught up in something, you need to go talk to them. If I saw one of my daughters caught up in something and I did nothing, would I be a good dad? No, I wouldn't. Also, if I confronted them harshly, I wouldn't be a good dad. So if I'm seeing them caught up in something, I need to go to them and I need to talk to them about it. Same with friends, brothers, sisters. If I see somebody caught up in a sin or in conflict with me, I need to go to them and talk to them about it. That means it's something we cannot overlook. Last week, Alan talked about being able to overlook stuff. So if you want to listen, what is an overlookable offense and what is something we need to talk about, listen to next week's lesson, or last week's lesson. I mean, listen to next week's lesson too. But last week is where we talked about overlooking. You can listen to sermons on greateralltonchurch.com under the sermon tab. So the conflict is something I can't just overlook. It's an offense that dishonors God, an offense that damages my relationship with them, an offense that hurts me or others, or it's an offense that hurts them. It's something that we just can't overlook. And too often, we talk about the problem with other people before we talk about the problem with the person. So I need to make sure I'm keeping it just between us as long as possible. It's one thing to seek advice, but I have found in my own life that if I'm not careful while I'm seeking advice, it turns into gossip. I share too much. I'm sharing too much with the wrong person. Am I really seeking advice or am I just complaining? I need to be careful about that. It's my heart issue that I need to look at. If the person I'm talking to isn't a part of the problem or a part of the solution, then it's gossip. Now, I can talk to one of my leaders and be like, hey, generically, here's the problem I'm having. What's some advice you would give me? And you can do that without naming names or saying topics. You can ask for advice. If the person I'm talking to is not part of the problem or part of the solution, then I'm gossiping. And there are exceptions to this, though, keeping it just between us. If you want to go to the person, there are some exceptions that I actually didn't think about before I read this book, where it's okay to have somebody else go. One of them is if the person you're talking to is abusive or a bully. So if this person you're in conflict is an abuser or a bully, it's not wise to go by yourself right off the bat. I'm not telling you, you've been abused, go talk to your abuser right now by yourself, alone. That's not smart, that's not wise. Or if the person's a bully, if this person's, I think of kids, but adults get bullied too. But like if your kid is getting beat up at school by the same kid every day, go talk to that person, just you and them, that's not smart. That's not smart. So there's a few times where it's not wise to go talk to them one-on-one. Another exception would be is if the person you're in conflict with is in a position of authority over you. So this book is written to teenagers. So they're talking to the teenagers saying, hey, if this is your boss or your parent or your grandparent or blank, somebody in a position of authority over you, it is wise to take somebody with you right off the bat. That applies to adults too. We have conflict with people in positions of authority over us. There's times where I might have a conflict with my boss. Now, my bosses are pretty cool and I can have a conversation with them. But let's say you're really low in the totem pole and the CEO of this multi-million dollar company is in there and you have a problem with them because of something they did or said. It might be wise to take maybe your supervisor with you and talk to them. So there are exceptions to this rule, but for the most part, if I want to restore them gently, I need to keep it between us for as long as possible. So just between us as long as possible. Number two, how do I gently restore somebody? I speak the truth. I speak the truth, but I listen first. I speak the truth, but I listen first. James 3, 4 through 5 says this. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot wants to go, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. I have put my foot in my mouth more times than I care to admit. Because I didn't think before I spoke, and I didn't listen before I spoke. And I have pretty big feet. My tongue will get me in trouble. My mouth will get me in trouble. James 1:19 earlier in the Message paraphrase says this, post this at all intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along the rear. Listen first, speak second. Don't get angry. Matthew 7:2 tells us this, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Do you want this person to listen to you? If you want them to listen to you, you have to be open to listening to them. And I need to listen to them the way I want them to listen to me. I need to listen to them the way I want them to listen to me. By doing that, by being open to them, we are going to make ourselves smaller and God bigger in this conversation. We are going to make ourselves smaller and God bigger because that's the goal, remember? Gently restoring, bringing them back into the fold, bringing the sheep back. That's the goal. Gentle restoration. And at some point, we have to have hard conversations. I want to ask you this. If you enjoy confronting somebody, should you be confronting somebody? Last week, Alan spoke about our hearts in peacemaking. And I said, really, go listen to them. But we must remember that the hard talk is not about bringing them down. It's supposed to be building them up. If I am excited to go confront somebody, there's a problem with my heart. There is a dread about having a hard talk. That is applicable. That's true. Nobody should want to have a hard talk with somebody. Nobody should want to have to point something out in somebody's life. Again, the point of the hard talk is to restore that person. We want repentance. We desire repentance. God desires repentance. But repentance that is bullied out of somebody, is that really repentance? Is that really somebody changing their heart? No, I think that's just acquiescing to stop it. That's not getting to the problem of the heart. Repentance is a change of heart that comes from that person, not what you do. It's God working in their heart, not Mike. And when I'm having conflict, when I see a brother or sister in sin, I want God's will to be done, not mine. I don't want to bully them into submission. I want them to seek, I want God to work on their heart so that they repent of the situation. Look back at that first passage in Galatians 6. Restore them gently. It doesn't say tear them a new one. It says restore them gently. And in restoring them, it will take us being able to listen. Many times in conflict, there are two sides. I would argue that most of the time in conflict, there are two sides. Very rarely is it only one-sided. That means in the conflicts that I'm a part of, I have some responsibility. Even if that's a very small, minute part, I have some responsibility. Recently, I've heard one of our elders talk about a conflict that they're involved in, and he was looking at what he was responsible for. That is a breath of fresh air. He was looking at what he was responsible for, not just what the other party was responsible for. Even if I only have 10% of the responsibility in the conflict, I need to own that 10% completely. And that might take, I confess that problem, my part of the problem, to the person I'm in conflict with. Let's face it. GAC used to be known for being the tearing the new one. People, the bullying people. We used to be known for that. And in recent years, we've probably swung back the other way where we don't confront enough. Where we're like, I don't want to rock the boat. I see something over there. I'm not actually pointing you guys. Sorry. I'm going to point over here. I see something over here, but I don't know. I don't want to. That's conflict. That's going to be messy. That's going to hurt. It's going to make me uncomfortable. Somewhere in between the and the I don't wanna is where we need to be. And that's the way my brain works right there. You just saw the way my brain works. We need to be somewhere in the middle, because somewhere in the middle where we're restoring gently is going to honor God. And that's the point. It's not to make my life better. It's not to even to make their life better. It's to bring honor to God. Just so you know, when we bring honor to God, we make both lives better. Just putting that out there. We need to honor God and have these hard talks with our brothers and sisters that are caught up in sin or that are in conflict with us. And we will be peacemakers and we will bring honor to God. Number three. I said I was going to go quick and I actually am. Look at that. Number three, get help. I wrote this down and I immediately started laughing. Immediately started laughing because of a recent, well, I guess it's not so recent movie. Thor and Loki, let's do get help. No, let's not do get help. Let's do get help. Get help, he's hurt. And he just throws Loki at him. Oh my gosh. That's not what we're doing here. But it made me laugh really hard because I wrote that and then, yeah. But in Matthew 18:16, it says, but if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Jesus tells us our next step. If they aren't listening, there's no repentance, get help. Take a few other people with you. This doesn't mean go get two or three of your best friends that are just going to agree with you and go gang up on them and tell them they're dumb and get them to repent. That's not what this is saying. The people we take with us should be qualified to make an impartial stance in the conflict. Can I tell you? I don't like that. That kind of sucks. Because that means they might point out more that I have responsibility for in the conflict. Possibly could say that. But that's what Jesus is calling us to. Take people who are going to be impartial. And prayer needs to be involved. Prayer needs to be involved in this. So not only should I be praying for the other person who's caught up in sin or in the conflict with me, I should also be praying for these people that I'm going to ask to come with me to talk to that person. I should be praying for myself, for the attitude that I have, for my humility. We need to ask the Spirit to intercede in this situation. Get help. Why not ask the Spirit for help? And we need to be open about everything. There have been moments in my life where I have tried to make myself look better in a situation than I should have. And if I'm taking impartial people with me, they're going to help me make sure that I am putting the correct light on everything. That I am saying, hey, this is where I stand, and it's factual and it's true. Remember, we are called to be servants. By trying to work through this conflict, we will show our service and love for the other person. We aren't just bringing in other people so that more people will be able to spread the story. These people must also be servants and honorable people. The last thing we want is for someone's dirty laundry to be aired out in front of everyone. That is not what this is about. This is not about, hey, look what they're doing. Because I don't want that. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for you. That's not what this is about. This is, again, about restoring gently. I'm going to say a lot, so just you might want to asterisk that one. So I'm getting help. I'm bringing one or two with me who aren't going to be partial to my side of the story. I'm asking the Spirit to intercede on behalf of everyone. And hopefully, this is the last step. Actually, every step should be the last step. I don't want to move forward. Because I hopefully this person is repentant and they're sorry and we can move forward. But what happens if they don't? Well, we move to step 4. In Matthew 18:17, the first half, it says, if they refuse to listen, tell it to the church. So step 4 is tell the church. Again, that's Matthew 18:17a. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. If they haven't listened to you in the scripture you shared, or the other people that have come with you to help, our next step is to tell the church. Now, what does that mean? That means if you have a conflict with somebody, and you have a problem, you know they're caught up in sin, mid-sermon, you come up here, you're like, I got something I need to talk about. Me and Brother Isaiah saw Brother Ezekiel over there involved in this, and he didn't listen to me. And then he didn't listen to us, so now we're up here, we're telling you everything he did, because Jesus told me to tell the church. That's not what he's saying. That is not what he's saying. Remember, restore them gently. If I got up here and I shared with you everything the person that I'm in conflict with did, is that going to win them over? No. In fact, that's going to push them further away. That's not what this is about. By telling the church, Jesus is telling us to involve more of the body. And I would say specifically leadership. Specifically leadership. Don't get up here and air everybody's dirty laundry. And it doesn't even have to be all of leadership. It could be a handful or maybe the elders. Jesus is telling us to involve more of the body. I have been in conflict with someone over their sin. And once I found out about it, I was like, I need to confront them on this. And we had a phone conversation. I remember the phone conversation. It was raining outside. I was in my garage barefoot walking around. I kept walking out because it was warm. I put my feet in the puddle. I remember this conversation vividly because I didn't want to have it. I did not want to have this conversation. And I bring scripture up and I'm talking to this person about what they're doing. And I'm like, this doesn't jive with scripture. You are living against God's word. And they didn't agree with me. And it was a long conversation of trying to win them over. Okay, that didn't work. So I grabbed a couple of brothers. I'm like, hey, this is what's happening. Here's the scripture. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with scripture? Am I right in this? Yeah, I think you're right. Can you talk with them with me? And these brothers went and talked to this person. Didn't see their fault. I talked to leadership. Leadership's like, yeah, this sucks. Nobody who wants to be a peacemaker seeks conflict. Nobody who wants to be a peacemaker enjoys conflict. And I would love to tell you that this person repented of their sin and is living a great life right now. They're not here. I'm not involved in their life anymore. Because they didn't want to leave that sin. That doesn't mean that this story is over. Or the story of anybody who has gone through this is over. Because if we're trying to restore them gently, we are leaving a door open that they can come back. They can walk back through. Once they realize what they're caught up in. And again, I do not find joy in this. I do not like this. I don't like this passage. This is one of the passages in scripture. If I rewrote scripture, this wouldn't be in it. But I'm glad it is. Because I need this scripture. I don't like it, but I need it. Sin breaks the heart of God, and our hearts should be broken over it too. That's why we're after restoration. Okay, let's say we've involved the church. Got some leaders involved, and they still won't listen. What happens next? Step 5, you take a time out. Take a time out. Treat them like the lost. Matthew 18, the second half of 17 says, if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I find this to be the hardest part of conflict resolution. That's just me. You guys might find a different step harder. This is my hardest point. This is for me. Sometimes the conflict isn't going to be resolved. And we're supposed to treat them like the lost. Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I am not called to stop loving that person. Jesus was hardest on the religious. And he was gentle with tax collectors and drunkards and prostitutes and fill in the blank. He loved the lost. He said he came to seek and save that which was lost. But, what? What does this mean in conflict resolution? What does this mean with this person that's caught in sin and doesn't want to repent? How do you treat other people who are lost in their sin? How do you treat other people who are lost in the sin? Well, Mike, I invite them to church. I invite them to outreach events. I ask if they want to study scripture. Yep, that's how you treat the lost. You treat a guest that way. That's what scripture's telling us to do. It's not telling us to completely cut off ties. There have people I've been in conflict with. The ties were cut by them. And I've honored that. If they don't want to have a relationship with me, I'm not going to pursue somebody who doesn't want to have a relationship with me. But if they have a door open for me to speak into their life, I still want to speak into their life. I'm still going to invite them to outreach events, to church on Sunday mornings. I'm going to ask, do you want to study scripture and see what it says about what's happening in your life right now? And honestly, they're probably not going to like that. But I want to be there for them. I want to be there for them. I want to be there. But that's hard. Because that sin and that conflict has damaged that relationship. That's really hard. That's why I don't like this point. I really don't like this point. Because it is so much easier to just be like, bye, Felicia, and cut them off. So much easier. And again, people I've been in conflict with have ended the relationship. Their side. There are people I've been in conflict with that I still talk to. They've made it clear they don't want to come back to church. They've made it clear they don't want to study scripture. I also, if I'm inviting them, treating them like the lost, I don't know about how your small group works. My small group is for disciples. It's for Christians. It's for people who are really seeking God. And if somebody is living contrary to God's law and will not repent of it, they're not welcome in my small group. So I do not invite them to my small group. But I will invite them to outreach events. I will invite them to church. If they have kids, I'll invite them to VBS. I'll invite them to church. If their kids want to go to church camp, I will find a way for their kids to get to church camp. I'm going to treat them like the lost. The world around us needs to see that we're really trying to follow Jesus and not just being religious. We are supposed to be different. What's the Chosen say? Get used to different. This is different. This is different. It'd be, honestly, easier to live the way the world lives when it comes to this kind of stuff. You're like, oh, you don't like me anymore? Bye. It takes a lot of stress out of my life if I do that. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said he came to seek and save that which is lost. And I'm supposed to be a servant. I'm supposed to do the will of God, the will of Jesus. His will is to find the lost. Are we willing to have these hard talks? It takes courage. It takes courage. It's not fun. This is not one of those fun passages. This isn't like Jesus feeds 5,000. We're like, ooh. This isn't Jesus raises the dead. We're like, yay. Go have a hard talk with that person. Oh, no. This isn't a fun passage. But it's something we need to know. It's something we need to do. We need to implement. We need to have these hard talks. It will build this body. It will strengthen this body. And it will honor God most of all. And that's really what we're here. We are here to honor God. We have to trust in Christ and the Spirit that they will work in these conflicts, in the lives that are caught in sin, in my own life, because I'm not perfect. I have to trust that they're at work. My favorite part of the Chronicles of Narnia is when they come out and they say, Aslan's on the move, not you. Because that means Jesus is moving. He's on the move. And I have seen Jesus on the move here, in this body. There are great things happening. And you know when great things start to happen? The enemy gets a little scared. And the enemy gets busy. And if we are not willing to have these hard talks, the enemy is going to have some success. In all of this, we have to remain a servant and remember our goal is gentle restoration. That's what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 18. It's not pretty. It's not easy. It's not fun. But it's something we're called to. We're called to love and be servants. In your bulletin, there's a communication card. And it's just a way for you to have a prayer request sent to the prayer ministry if you need it. It's a way for you to let us know any needs that you might have. Would you like a Bible study? Know more about small groups? There's boxes to check. If you need to fill that out, fill it out. There's baskets in the back that you can put it in. If you're a guest this morning, you're going to see our members put their offering in those baskets. We didn't ask you to come here to get something from you. We don't want your money. I'm not going to tell you not to put anything in the basket, but we didn't get you here to get something from you. I hope that God has spoken in your life this morning. We're about to sing a song that'll give you time to fill out those communication cards, and then you can put them in the baskets at the end of the service. I pray that your day goes well, your week goes well this week. And I pray for us as a family that we are willing to have these hard talks and be open to it and trust in the Spirit. And because of that, our family can grow and be strong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your scripture. Thank you so much for your word. Even the hard stuff, God, even the hard stuff. Help us as a family to be willing to talk in and speak into each other's lives. To be willing to strengthen the body, Father, your body, so that we can honor you and bring glory to your name. Help us to be gentle when we restore people. Help us to remember that it's not about us, Father. It's about you. There's a lot of hurt, Father, not just in the world, but in the church. And it's a lot of it is because there hasn't been gentle restoration. Help us to be better. And by better, we will honor you better. We will bring glory to you better. And your body will be stronger because of what we've trusted in you for. I love you, Father. It is in your name I pray. Amen.
I'm so secure. You're here with me. You stay. You'll never let me go.